You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Would you open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 13. That's where we are. I guess I'm still hanging out in the New Testament. Exodus chapter 13. We're going to be in verse 17 to 22. No, past couple of weeks. Since school started, I've been the one who's having to pick up my son from school, my four-year-old son. And usually when I'm going to pick him up, my wife always tells me, just prepare, because he's going to talk nonstop. And so he does, and he asks a ton of questions, and we're constant. It's a roller coaster. It's one of those things where it's like question after question. But a couple of weeks ago, I was picking up at least four kids after dropping them off at their homes. I happened to use a different route going home, and all of a sudden, my son Liam is at the back, and he is breaking down. I'm talking about he's weeping back there, and I'm like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Why are we going this way? Where are we going? I want to go home." And like, he just keeps on just like going on and on about like, why am I using that route? He wants to go home. And then so as he's crying in that way, I'm just chuckling, because I'm like, this is a shortcut. And he's like, no, this is the longest way ever, and all that stuff. And so when we pull up to the intersection, like that's close to my house, when we pull up to it, he opens his eyes. Finally, he looks, and he's like, "Wow, we are almost home!" And he's like, "We're almost home." And then he starts saying, "I didn't know. I'm so sorry, Dad. I didn't know this was a shortcut. I didn't know." So this is actually what you are gonna get to see in Exodus around this time, where at the end of the day, when God leads his people out, he begins to take the unusual routes to take his people to the promised land. And but there's going to be just really this thing where in order for Israel to experience freedom, they're going to have to trust in God's faithfulness, that he intends good for them. He is going to have to take them from this place where they're going to have to trust, first of all, in his wisdom. They're going to have to trust in his promises, and they're going to have to trust in his presence for him to take them where they should go. So if you can walk away with one thought today, it would be this: that freedom, if for us to experience the freedom that only comes from God, that freedom follows where God leads, trusting in his faithfulness, that he is faithful. And then next week we're going to look at that it trusts in his power. That's where we're going to get to see the Red Sea. And so today, look at this: that freedom trusts in God's faithfulness, that God is the one who is faithful. And we see this, that in order to be free, the Israelites had to trust, first of all, in his faithful wisdom. Look at verse 17 to 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearby. I want you to see this, that the most logical way would have been to go through the Philistines, but like, it was nearby, but they had to now begin to trust God's wisdom. And for God said, the people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war. So he led the people towards the Red Sea along the road of the wilderness, and the Israelites left the land in battle formation. So what's going on here is the fact that God looks at his people, even though they're leaving Egypt in battle formation, but they are not formed as an army as yet. They don't know the art of war as yet. And so God is going to take them. He takes them the long way. And this is the unexpected way. But he wants to train them so that they can be fit for battle. He knew that they would have to face, first of all, the border patrol, the armies of Egypt. But not only that, after that, they were going to face the Philistines. Later on, you're going to see the Philistines are going to be the thorn in the flesh of the Israelites, and they're gonna be taunting Israel nonstop. And God was saying they are not ready for that kind of war yet. And so him, in his compassion, he decides this is the best way to go. This is the best way to go. He doesn't go the logical way, and he takes them by the way of the wilderness. And then this is what I want us to kind of just really think about, that sometimes the long way around is actually the best way. Sometimes what seems like a hard road is God's way of developing our faith. It's God's way of developing our faith, where now he's taking them through the wilderness, and he's going to begin to teach them how to fight and how to fight right. And you're going to see it in this next chapter, chapter 14, where he says when they're like stuck and their backs against the sea, and they're saying, we are going to die. And God says, stand. Be still, and you will see the salvation of God. God wanted to teach them so that they can trust him for every single battle. And then battle, after that, he's going to begin to win wars. And even later on, we're going to see Moses having just to lift up his hand, and while they fight on the ground, so that when his hands are down, they're losing. When his hands are up, lifted towards the Lord, they're winning. He wanted to train them how to fight battles the right way, to know that they still have the strong arm of God with them. That their strength wasn't enough to win wars. It was the strength of God with them. That it was the God accompanying them that was going to win the wars. So for us, in many of life's circumstances, like when you look around, we do not know what is going on usually, and this is where we must trust in the wisdom of God. And this is where we must trust in the wisdom of God, knowing that God is good. That sometimes God is going to take you the way of the wilderness instead of the way that seems most logical, and you will find yourself stuck in those kind of places, and you'll find yourself crying and saying, God, why are you taking me this way? But yet actually is the guaranteed way where he gets to work on you and form you and conform you to his image. So that's where we must be trusting, knowing that God is good and he is working out everything in his sovereign purposes. Right? This is where now Philippians 1:6 comes in handy for all of us. And this is a scripture that has become very dear to me. I am confident of this. I am certain of this, that he who began a good work, that a good God who begins a good work in you and me is faithful. That you can trust in his faithfulness, that God is not a quitter when he begins a work in you, that even on a crappy day, on a dark day, on a cloudy day, on a day when it looks like everything is going wrong, you can know this, hold on to this, that God is still doing a good work even there. It might look like the way of the wilderness, but even there, he's still doing a good work. He is a God who's actually holding, you can hold on to the fact that he begins a good work, he continues a good work, until he comes, he's going to still be doing good work in you and me. Amen? You can hold on to that. Take that. That is something that you hold on to, that now when it looks like, why am I here? To those that have placed their faith in Christ Jesus, they know that. They know that. They know that there is no moment that is out of pocket for children of God. Everywhere where you are is an opportunity for God to be working and forming you and making you, you might not deliver you from the wilderness, but there's surely a guarantee you're going to come out of there grateful you went through it. Right? So even on this way, in order for them to be free, they're going to have to trust in his wisdom, but they're going to also have to trust in his faithful promises. Trust in his faithful promises. Look at verse 19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear a solemn oath, saying, God will certainly come to your aid. I want you to see that. This is one of the most important parts of the Bible. 430 years it's going to take for God to free the children of God from Egypt. And Joseph was saying that, even if I have to be dead to experience this freedom, even if I have to be dead, even if you have to take my bones out of here, I know there's one thing. I would rather be dead than the promises of God to fail. Like, I would, even if it takes almost close to 400 plus years, I know God's promises are going to come true. He says, God will certainly come to your aid. Then you must take my bones with you from this place. And then so we see here Joseph, and this is what he has said in Genesis chapter 50. We see him saying that, like, don't leave me out here. Just like you came to Egypt, I came to Egypt and became a slave. And when God comes to your aid to deliver you, he promised not only me, he also promised even Abraham, even a couple of hundred years earlier than that, he promised him that he was going to come and save us from here. I want to experience that freedom also. Don't leave my bones here. And but like, what does that have to do with Israel at this time? For some of us, it might just look like, man, it's just some bones there. But like, this is where we get to see Joseph's bones were a reminder of God's faithfulness to his promises. That he who makes promises is sure to deliver them, right? And this is also a reminder that the Exodus, this mass Exodus, was not based on human plan. It was based on God's promises that he had made towards his people. So God had promised Abraham that his descendants would inherit Canaan, that he was gonna bring them out from there. And there's a couple of other promises that he was going to bring them out of their rich. And so they are leaving there with all the with gold from Egypt. But not only that, they're leaving from there with even Egyptians and all that. And even that was a promise also to Abraham that through you, all nations will be blessed. And this is actually where you're seeing the promises of God are coming to fulfillment at this time. And Joseph held on to those. And he knew that God would fulfill his promise. And we don't see that promise fulfilled until Joshua 24:32. But I love what Hebrews chapter 11, 22 says. It says, this is what faith does. Faith looks to the future and says, if God, who's faithful here, is here, he's also going to be faithful there. And then it says that Joseph, like by faith, believed that, that God is going to come through there. That he's going to come through, so take my bones. And then so he had to be dead, but yet the promises of God outlasted him. Right? And so for the children of God, walking through the wilderness for 40 years, there's one thing that you should know, that during those years they would look towards the bones. And they had a reminder of God's faithfulness and how he keeps his promises, right? Earlier this week, I had one of my, Kyle, one of our members in our church here who leads our guest ministry, just sent me a message. He's like, hey, I want to meet with you. And a lot of times as a pastor, when somebody says, I want to meet with you, you already start thinking, okay, what's going on? Something is, you know, and he was like, no, don't worry about it. It's something good. It's a surprise. And he walked into my office and he was carrying a copy from the 1800s of Pilgrim's Progress. And for me, Pilgrim's Progress is one of the most important stories, one of the most important books in my faith. But what really kind of stands out for me, one of my favorite stories in there, is when Christian is stuck he's in the dungeon of Doubting Castle. Like in the dungeon where he's being tortured and he's being forced to give up. Really, that this giant despair is casting this shadow on them of just hopelessness. And over, he's being tortured. And the giant cannot take his life, but he is trying to push him to give up on life and give up on the promises of God. But at least he's stuck in there with hopeful. And hopeful, as they're having conversations, all of a sudden, they're despairing of life itself, all of a sudden Christian reaches into his pocket and he finds a key, and he calls that a key of promise. A key of promise, and all of a sudden he says, "Man, I've been a fool. Why is it that I didn't realize I had this key all this time in my pocket?" And then all of a sudden he tries the door to the cage where they're locked up, and he realizes the key opens that door. And he tries the key to the shackles, to the door of the prison, and even the front door of the castle, and this key is opening every single door. And you find out that, like here, the picture that John Bunyan is painting here is the fact that the promises of God are like the keys that unlock God's promises over and over for you and me. That his promises are sure, that God is sure. And then so what is faith? Faith is believing in God's promises. Faith lives in the present in light of God's promised future. That way, the promises of God are what you need to hold on to. And so every single morning, every single day, you and I, when we wake up and we open up Scripture, that is a day to begin to pack up and fill ourselves with the promises of God. With the promises of God, so that in hard times, when you are stuck, when you are feeling like things are not going really well, at least you can really begin to actually follow the promises of God. We don't have the bones of Joseph, but you know what we have? We have the testimony. We have the word of God itself, and the word of God, and we have his gospel. We have the empty tomb. We have all the promises of God, and those promises of God are our guarantee that God is faithful, right? You can hold on to the promises of God. So the question is, where in your life are you prone to doubt the promises of God? Like, where is it that you need God to show himself strong in your life? And I'm sure, and I know this, that there are promises of God in Scripture where you can now be able to hold on to, and they will be able to sustain you through even the wilderness of your life. That as we exist right now in what we call the already but not yet, where Jesus has conquered the grave, hell, death, hell, and the grave for you and me, but yet they still normal life. Things that are happening in our life happens. We are fallen people with fallen people around us and in a fallen world, and things are always not going to go the right way. But what we are left with is at least the promises of God to walk with through every single obstacle of our lives. Right? So we have the promises of God, but not only just the wisdom of God, the promises of God, but we also have, in order to continue to experience freedom, we have the faithful presence of God. We have to trust in his faithful presence. We have the faithful presence of God. Look at verse 20 here. It says, they set out to Succoth, right? Camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And right, and the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud, and to lead them on their way during the day, and in a pillar of fire to give them light at night, so that they could travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day, and then the pillar of fire by night, and never left its place in the front of the people. So here they are accompanied by God. And here the pillar of cloud and the pillar of the fire is a sign of his presence as they flee from the land of oppression. That they have the presence of God. The presence of God walking with them every single day. And what I love about this is the fact that this pillar of fire, this pillar of cloud, and then this pillar of fire, yes, to us today, it sounds like something that's like absurd, but yet it was tangible. They could see it. And this was a guarantee that God was with them even through everything. And you're going to get to see even in the next couple of weeks, God was with them and he was guiding them. They're walking through a parched desert. They're walking but God is with them and he's protecting them. This cloud by day would actually help them not to get burned by the sun. And not only that, at least they could see. It was like a GPS in the desert for them. God showing them which way to go. But at night, the desert usually drops and it becomes cold, and it will provide warmth for them and it will provide direction. And not only that, that's when the wild animals would come out. They would come out, and not only did they had all these wild animals with them, they had all these domestic animals with them, and this light would actually help protect that. So God's presence was with them. And this is now where you and I are so prone to forget that we have God's faithful presence with us when we're going through life's trials. God's faithful presence is with us. He never leaves us. He guides us. He never leaves us at any moment. And there's something that usually happens. One of the things is that, like, we end up, when we're going through the route that we're not expecting, one of the cries and the weeping that we do towards God is that we doubt, yes, the wisdom of God, we doubt the promises of God, but we also doubt his presence, that it is with us. We begin to start thinking in this way. Where even as we look into our lives, we can look into the Bible and we can see God's faithful presence there. We can look in history and we can see God's faithful presence. In the Old Testament, God is faithfully present with them. And then in the New Testament, we have Emmanuel, God with us, who abides with us forever, and he pours out his Spirit. And we can attest to that. Yes, God is with us, and we can see he was with them. And then not only that, we can look back into our lives, and we can pinpoint times in our lives where God's faithful presence has been there. But there happens to be those days when we experience what theologians call the dark night of the soul, when we experience trials, when it's a cloudy day, and then all of a sudden, and you know, it's the Bible's going to say that God is faithful as the sun, right? The sun constantly is shining, but on a cloudy day, it's easy to forget that the sun is still shining. On those days, like John Owen says in his book, Communion with God, he says that our communion with God is like, some days it's like the sun is out and it's shining and you're able to bask on it. I remember as an African kid, like growing up in Zimbabwe, I used to get out when the African sun would be out and I would sit outside there and bask in the sun, and like it was so warm. But yet there were some days that like were cloudy. And those days felt as if the sun wasn't shining at all. Did you know that God is still there, even on cloudy days? On those dark days, just like the sun is still shining, God is still there, faithfully present with you and me. But what we have to fight now, what you and me have to fight now, is the lie that comes in that says, yes, I see he was faithful there. I can pinpoint even in my life moments where he has been faithful. But all of a sudden, there's this big lie that says, I know you was faithful yesterday, but today is exempt from that. That God is, he's stopped. He's finally read through my sinful patterns, my unworthiness of his grace, and he's finally looked at me, and he's finally known who I truly am, and this is the day when he finally withdraws his faithful from me. And that's the lie that you and I have to totally, constantly go against. I want you to kind of just think of this. This pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire was with them. And it was with them for all the 40 years they were in the desert. What happened in the 40 years? If you stick with us, you're going to get to know that there were points where they were literally at the pinnacle of rebellion. As soon as they crossed the Red Sea, they're erecting what? A golden calf. And you know what was still there then? You know what was still there? I can imagine as they're putting this thing together, as they're building this golden calf, and they're building it all, and as they're building it, you know what's still there? If it was during the day, they could look and they could see a cloud. And if it was during the night, they could look and they would see a fire, but they had decided that was not enough. They needed something more. Right? They needed something more. God was faithful to this community at the peak of their rebellion, and when they were being unfaithful, he was there. And listen, this is now you and me, but God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for it. He didn't wait for you to shape up and to get your act together. His faithfulness is not dictated by our faithfulness to him. In fact, 2 Timothy is going to say this, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. And here, the picture that's here is the fact that his faithfulness was there, and it was guiding them. And so, and this is what theologian Jen Wilkins, she says this, the antidote to anxiety about the future. You and I have been sometimes prone to this. The antidote to anxiety about the future is not to discern the future, but to remember the past, right? And instead of straining your gaze forward, trying to squint to try to figure out the future, look over your shoulder and rehearse God's faithfulness to you and to generations past. And you will begin to see that filling you up with the hope that if he was faithful to them, he is faithful to me, even when you feel like you're totally unworthy of his faithfulness. Amen. Even when you feel like you're unworthy of his faithfulness. So freedom follows God. And it follows God, and so that it follows God because God is faithful. And as it follows God, and this is actually like at the end of the day, what is really true freedom? If you come to the New Testament, you will find out that true freedom is following Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the wisdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians 1:24. That when you do not know what to do, you have one that is with you who is called the wisdom of God. That every single thing, everything that you need for life and godliness is all in Christ. And that Jesus is the wisdom of God. That now you can trust Jesus. What does he do? And like, look through the scriptures. What does he do when he is pressed? When he's pressed down, and when he's being crushed by the weight of our sin in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find him actually saying, God, if there was another way, it nevertheless let your will be done. We see him holding on to the will of God, even at the pinnacle of suffering. What does it do when he's being wronged by the ones, when he's being wronged, nailed, crucified, and beaten and spat on by the ones that he's dying for? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That Jesus is the wisdom of God. That if you're struggling with forgiveness, bitterness, self-control, all those things, whatever it is that you struggle with, in Jesus there is the wisdom found for you to be able to be sustained. Amen. That Jesus is the wisdom of God. That sometimes, even when we're walking through the wilderness of our lives, At least we have Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. So now what do I need to do? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3:5, and lean not in your own understanding, right? Your own understanding is going to leave you in a ditch somewhere. It's going to leave you stranded somewhere. You don't have enough fuel to make it to the destination that God designed for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, in all your ways. I'm not talking about these only a select few of your ways. In all your ways, your relationships, your home, your work, your vocation, everything, acknowledge Him, make Him the priority, and He will make your path straight. That's what He says, right? He's the wisdom of God. But not only that, that Jesus is the word. It's in Jesus, all God's promises, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20, my favorite verse, all God's promises are yes and amen. We don't need Joseph's bones anymore in order for us to be sustained. We need an empty tomb, and we need Jesus Himself, that in Jesus now, the vaults of God's promises are open wide. What is it that you need? All the promises of God. When you say, I need, what do we need? You need love, you need joy, you need peace, you need patience, love, you need long-suffering, you need self-control, whatever it is that you need, God, and if you say, I'm coming, this is why we pray in Jesus' name. I'm coming in Jesus' name. All of those are already yes and amen. Jesus is the key that unlocks the dungeon of despair, wherever it is that we're stuck, and it raises us up to what? To live the lives that God has called us to live. Amen. So hold on to Jesus. He's the wisdom of God. Hold on to Jesus. In Him, all the promises of God are met there. And He is enough for you and for the journey ahead of you, even when you're holding on, you're walking in the wilderness of your life. Right? But not only that, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. That we have. Now we don't need, some of us here as we're reading that, we'll be like, man, I sure hope, I wish there was a cloud next to me. I wish there was a fire at night. But if you read, if you continue to read the story, the Bible, you will see that, no, you have more than that. You have more than that in the Bible. You have Jesus, according to Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He gives us His indwelling Spirit. He does not leave us as orphans. He gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And so we don't need the cloud. We don't need the fire. We have Jesus on the inside of us. And that is enough. Right? So now we can walk through the dark moments of our lives. Love what theologian Tim Chester says. To be led by the Spirit is not a mythical experience in which we receive new revelations from God, right? It is to live our new liberated life, freed life, as we head for life in the new creation. We are led by the Spirit every time He prompts us to say no to the Spirit and yes to Jesus. We are being led by the Spirit every time our hearts are set on our heavenly inheritance rather than earthly treasure. So we live by the Spirit by putting to death selfish desires, according to Galatians chapter 5, 24. And so every single day as we follow those that are children of God, and that there's a beauty in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 4, 22, God says, Israel is my firstborn son. But then now in Romans chapter 8, we have now been adopted and now we're children of God. It says those that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That now you and I can now be led, that as we find ourselves in this desert moment, we can now be able to hold on to the wisdom of God And we can be able to hold on to his promises, because his promises are sure. But not only that, his faithful presence. We have in Jesus all those in Jesus in such a way that every single day then is a day to walk in freedom. It's a day to walk in freedom. So my prayer for you today is that you would begin to ask yourself, where is it that I listen, you are a human being and I'm a human being. I know that we live in a fallen world, right? In a fallen world where in Adam we've all sinned, but not only that, we're around sinful people all day. And some of the most sinful people are the spouse you sleep next to. Or not only that, some of the most sinful people are the little kids that run around in your house, and you have experienced sin all around you. And listen, there's no doubt that you and I have walked through desert experiences in our lives. But the question that's there is that, are we going to trust? Are you and I going to trust in his wisdom? Are you going to trust in Jesus, the wisdom of God, to lead you through those moments? Are you going to trust in Jesus, the one where all God's promises are yes and amen? Or are you going to trust in yourself and whatever theories and philosophies are around you? Are you going to have this unquenched hope? Are you going to have this undimmed hope in you that is Christ in you, or you're going to be left in a place where you are in despair and you're hopeless? And all those are yes and amen in Jesus. Amen. All those are yes and amen. So, if you're here, some of us today will realize that my own wisdom has led me to a very dry place. And today you have won. That the same way he extended his hands at the cross and forgave those who crucified him and forgave those who mocked him on his side, his arms are wide open. Come to me. If you are tired, weary, and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Today, you and I can rest in his faithfulness. He was faithful then, he's faithful today. He is faithful to forgive you all your sins. He is faithful to restore you. And he is faithful to guide you. My prayer is that if you do not know Jesus like that, today would be a day when you get to know him like that. You get to know. And that just comes with empty hands of faith, where you're trusting that he's already done it all. And you're coming in with empty hands of faith. But not only that, as a Christian, you are here today. Maybe you are experiencing hopelessness and where your own wisdom has led you astray. Today, be able to say, give your heart once again to God and say, your wisdom, your promises, and not only that, your presence are what I'm going to hold on to from this day onwards. And that is very important. If you can hold on to those, this would be a day where God meets you where you are, and he just changes you for his glory. But we hold on to this by also just remembering the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do it in remembrance of me.'" Remember, every battle you face, I've already won through my body at the cross. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, and they say, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." And what is that? You proclaim the Lord's faithfulness over you until he comes. So then, whosoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. If you just take it and you just don't allow him to meet you where you are and free you from where you are, then you're taking it in an unworthy manner. It says, let a person examine himself. What is it that he has spoken to you about? And begin to bring it to him. And in this way, let him eat this bread and drink this cup. So let him meet you where you are. And then you're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let me pray. Jesus, we come before you. We thank you that you are good and your mercy endures forever. And so God, Lord, help us to place our full weight on your wisdom, on your promises, and also on your faithful presence today. And let it begin to transform us, and so that we can be conformed to the image of your Son. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Take time to examine yourself, and when you're ready, step over to the table and receive this gift of communion. And if not, and could you please maybe even go to the back? There are people ready to pray with you so that you can even receive even a greater gift of Jesus himself with people praying for you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of his Son. For additional information...